Today we'll be doing the third part of the skeletal system. This is chapter 7 and chapter 8. I am not going over most of the things that we covered in lab again. So if we covered in lab, I know that we do need to cover it here. I have posted the PowerPoints for 7. I'll get 8 up there. So it has all of the parts listed out that you guys require, like the diagrams and stuff pointing to each part and all that. Okay. All right. So things we already know: the axial skeleton and the appendicular skeletal system. Oh, don't undo. So the axial is going to include the skeleton, the vertebrae, the ribs, and the axial has the upper and lower extremities and the pectoral girdle, and it has the pectoral girdle and pelvic girdle. Because your pecs are up here. Pectoral. So it has your clavicle and your scapula. Because those aren't ribs. All right. So that we know already, right? No? Yes? Yes. Okay. That we already know. All right. So we're going to talk a little bit about, well, I was going to the skull, but 206 bones in the body. We should know that already. I've said that many times already. There's more at birth, 270 at birth, so putting a number on it, and then we're going to start fusing them as the baby gets older. Different types of bones. We've talked about those. We're going to see some of them again. We're going to talk a lot about the sutural lines and the type of sutures you can have. All right. So skull. The skull is a very complex bone joining. Okay. There's 22 bones that are going. I can't talk today. I give uncle. There's 22 bones in the skull. They're joined together with sutures. They're joined together with sutures. These are our immovable joints. We talked about this in lab. We do not want our joints to move in the skull because if they move, you could pinch your brain. And if you pinch your brain, you're going to have deficits. What do I mean by deficits? Yeah, probably, but that's not what the deficit is. What
Like
is
the form it's not gonna function.
not functioning properly? So, if you're at a deficit, it means you're not at 100%. So, this is 100% of functionality. You're not going to be 100%. Something's going to be wrong. If you pinch it and this droops, that's a deficit because you can no longer control that. If you can no longer feel something, that's a deficit. Okay? If you can't rationalize, that's a deficit. Okay? So you're going to end up with some form of deficit every time something happens to the brain. Okay?
Oh, that sounds like you could have strokes.
Yeah, if you have a stroke, that's because it causes brain death and parts of the brain die. Therefore, you end up whatever that part of the brain was controlling is no longer being able to be controlled. That's why a lot of times the face will droop because that part of the brain was controlling the facial muscles and you can't control them. And just like being here, looking like you normally look, you're actually using your muscles to keep your mouth like this, to keep your eyes where they are. You don't feel yourself doing it, but if you don't use those muscles at all, it just kind of it droops because you can't use those muscles. Okay? We talked about quite a few of the cavities that are inside of the skull. We have the casing for the brain itself, so the brain cavity. We have our orbital cavities, which have our eye sockets, the nasal cavity, the oral cavity, which is the bucal, the mouth. I keep that in mind when we get to muscles because it's going to be called that. And it'll be there. The middle inner and inner ear cavities, that was the external and internal auditory meatus. and the paranasal sinuses. So when I show you guys the picture of my skin, you can see my nasal cavities. All right, so here is a shot of the skull. This is the one of the views we looked at in the lab. So it has the cranial cavity in here, and you can see the different fossas in here, what part of the brain is actually sitting in it. So the frontal lobe is going to sit in the anterior cranial fossa. So the anterior is in the front. The posterior cranial fossa is going to have our cerebellum in it, and the cerebellum is going to hook into the spinal cord, which is going to go through here. The middle cranial fossa will have the temporal lobe on it, and it will sit in there. This part will hook into the brain and help turn it. I mean, it doesn't actually hook into the brain, like it doesn't inject into the brain, but it's a point to help the brain go with. Like when you turn your head, it makes your brain go with the bones instead of there being friction or, you know, anything like that causing the brain to turn. Okay? There's 8 cranial bones. We have 1 frontal bone, 2 parietal, 2 temporal, 1 occipital, and 1 symphenoid, and 1 ethmoid. Is that on here? I'll pull it up and show the skull exploded, so you can see how all of these pieces fit in together. This view does not have... Is it on here? No, it's not on here. So it doesn't have the... this view, you can't actually see them. Let me pull up the video so you guys can see all of the different... All right, let me turn the volume on, because this is where we're at right now, having to do things like this. Okay, so here's the skull exploded. It's almost 3 minutes, but it goes through all of the bones. It shows you where they belong in there, which I think is helpful, especially even for lab, just to know where they belong.
The human skull is made up of 8 cranial bones that surround and protect the brain, and 14 facial bones that form the underlying structure of the face and support for the teeth. With the exception of the mandible, the bones of the skull articulate with each other through joints known as sutures. Throughout the skull, holes known as foramina serve as passageways for blood vessels and nerves. Bones on the surface of the skull encase the brain, protect sensory organs, and serve as attachment sites for the muscles of the head and neck. These bones include the occipital bone, parietal bones, temporal bones, and the frontal bone, as well as the nasal bones, the zygomatic bones, the maxilla, and the mandible. Other bones become more visible only when looking inside the skull. The sphenoid bone makes up the anterior base of the cranium.
It's like a butterfly-shaped
bone with a central body and 2 pair of laterally projecting wings. These wings form portions of the orbit.
So you see how it's sitting
the
in the skull?
The sphenoid features a depression known as the cella turcica, which houses the pituitary gland. Located between the orbits, the ethmoid bone makes up a portion of the cranial floor, and also the roof of the nasal cavity. An inferior projection, the perpendicular plate of the ethmoid bone, forms part of the nasal septum. The crista galli projects superiorly from the ethmoid bone and serves as the attachment point for the fossa cerebri, a dural fold. Extending laterally from the crista galli is the cribriform plate, a perforated area through which the olfactory nerves pass. The 2 L-shaped palatine bones form the posterior third of the hard palate, part of the nasal cavity, and a portion of the orbit. The small, thin lacrimal bones make up the anterior portion of the medial wall of each orbit.
Remember, the orbit's the eyes.
A groove known as the lacrimal groove helps to form the nasolacrimal canal, which contains a duct that allows tears to travel to the nasal cavity. The vomer is an elongated, plow-shaped bone that forms the inferior and posterior part of the nasal septum. The internal and external skull bones articulate precisely, forming an intricate structure perfectly suited to its functions.
All right, so that's the facial bones. What are we doing here? No, cancel. Okay. There we go. All right, so that was the skull exploded. Do you guys want me to put that up on Blackboard? Okay, so I'll send you guys the link to that. No. Oh, it works. But this is the remote I want. All right, so like the video said, there are 14 cranial bones. There we go. Nope. Yeah. 14 facial bones. I'm sorry, I was trying to get it on the right slide. I was focusing on something else. 14 facial bones are going to support the teeth, give the face its actual structure. So that's how you're going to have the attachments of your muscles, your skin, and all that to give you what your facial features look like. We're going to form the eye sockets, so the orbital cavities and the nasal cavities. And we're going to provide attachment for the muscles. That's going to give you the ability to things like that. Turn your face, turn your head, because that's going to have muscles here that are attaching in on the skull, at the back of the skull, so you can do things like this. I don't want to hurt myself. Anyway, so the 14 bones, we have 2 maxilla, 2 palatine bones, those are internal, 2 zygomatic bones, those are internal, 2 lacrimal bones, they're internal, 2 nasal bones, 2 inferior nasal conchae, they're internal, the vomer's internal, and the mandible is external, the maxilla, that's external. Okay? All of those are internal. Unless you take the skin off and then you can see the, but it doesn't protrude out. All right, so that's the facial bones. I think that's going to take us out of the skull. Yep. All right, so that's the skull. Do you not sleep? Do you sleep in your other classes?
I'm not sleepy
right now. Okay.
I'm not.
Okay. Don't talk about it. I'm good. All right, vertebrae. Elizabeth's a sleepy one today. it's okay. I was like that on Monday. Not this Monday, last Monday.
Yeah.
Spine. Yeah, I was out. The spine is going to protect the spinal cord, which is going to be your nerves that run up through it and into the skull. So it's going to have the points where all the nerves come out of the brain and into the body. Okay? They're going to come through on the spinal cord out like that. It supports the skull and the trunk. It allows for movements such as that. Oh, that's poppy. I absorb stress of movements, and it's going to provide attachment points for the limbs, for the ribs, muscles, all kinds of stuff. So remember the ribs attached onto the vertebrae. So that's your thoracic cage. There's 33 vertebrae. There's hyaline cartilage disc in between each one of them. Remember, we have cervical, thoracic, lumbar, sacrum, and the coccyx. There were how many cervical? How many cervical were they? Huh? No. Remember, breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snack. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snack. You have breakfast at 7 a.m. There's seven cervical. There are 12 thoracic because you have lunch at noon. There are five lumbar because you have dinner at 5. And then you have a snack. There's the coccyx and the sacrum. There's like little pieces. This is made up of five things, but it's one fused thing. It's five of them fused together, so they're not individual. So it's like one in one. The sacrum is one thing that has parts fused together in it, whereas these are all individual bones. This you cannot separate. 33. 7 plus 12 is 13 plus 5. Oh, let me get a calculator. Y'all don't need no help. Where are we?
I just remember it looked like that lunch breakfast.
Yeah, so it's 7 plus 12 plus 5 plus. It's missing something. Oh, the two on the top, they're not a part of it? No, they're C1 and C2. Did I not do this right? 7 plus 12 plus 5 plus 1. That's 30. Oh, the coccyx is made up of three bones. I'm tripping. There's three little pieces of the coccyx. So, yeah, that gives you the right amount. Anyway, yeah, there's little pieces in the coccyx.
Yeah.
Because it can actually, like right you can actually bone. Articulate the coccyx. You cannot, I'm not going to assume that you can't. I'm not going to say that you can't. You may have a tail that I don't know about because I've not looked at you guys.
Is that where animals coccyx are?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
It's an extension of the coccyx. There are humans who have a protruding coccyx, so it's a little tail. And there are humans who have a protruding coccyx that they can articulate.
Oh, my God.
So they have a tail. But it's not like a tail. It's a nubbin that they can move. It's a little nubbin, and they can move it. Well, I mean, you probably wouldn't see it.
Oh,
unless you were intimate probably with it.
So I thought you could see.
Yeah.
Oh,
but,
so
I mean, you wouldn't.
I understand.
I mean, I wouldn't go around wearing spandex with it sticking out. I don't know how that works. I haven't thought about that. But I'm pretty sure you can't really see with them clothed that they have a little nubbin that they can move. It's like when people have third nipples, you don't see it on externally. I mean, you see it externally, but I mean, when they're clothed, you don't see it. Anyway. I don't know what that means. Have what? What do you mean burnt? You said burnt? Like caught on fire and it's burned?
No. You mean they're dark?
Yeah, they're like light and then like when you get in the sun, it's like when you...
I'm wondering if, oh, if they get tanned or
yeah.
Like...
Oh, yeah. Can you get sunburn on your nipples? Yes, it's skin. You can get sunburn and you can tan. You can get sunburn and you can tan on your burnt nipples. I was very confused. I was like, what? Well, I mean, if you sunburn topless, then that can happen. But you're not going to get sunburn unless the skin is exposed to the sun. So you have to assume that you're topless to get burnt nipples. Sunburnt is what we were going for.
I was like, what is she talking about?
All right, so 7 cervical, 12 thoracic, 5 lumbar. The sacral is like one massive thing that's fused together, but it's 5 bones. The coccyx is fused together, but it's got 4 different pieces. That's the 34, or 33. Yeah, it's just you The sacrum is thought of as one bone. The coccyx is thought of as one bone because it's not pieces you can take apart. But they're like the cranium, which is made up of all the bones, but they're fused together. Those are fused together to make one thing. Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah, trying to do math is hard. On the coccyx, yeah. There are some people that have different number of vertebrae. 1 in 20 people. It's not a big deal. Typically, it's in the fused part of the spines. It's how you get a nubbin. It's how you get a nubbin. That's a lot of people, but I don't think all of them have a nubbin. But you gotta have like more so it'll go out. And if it can move, it means they're not fused. I'm pretty sure they don't put that on display.
No, I'm saying like if they
I wouldn't. Costume. Yeah. He has a curvature of his spine. It's not a bad thing.
No.
No, I mean this is just showing the curvature of the spine. Yeah, it's a C shape. It's going to make an S shape later. S shape after 3 years. They're like, and then when they get older, they get the actual shape of the spine, which our spine should start here, curve in, and then like it goes back and then comes. I'll show you a picture. It's hard to see externally.
You can tell some age of babies. Because some people I know that's why they check. They're like scoliosis. Right.
Yeah.
Check in the nurse's
yeah, I'll show you a picture of scoliosis too. So here's this curvature of the spine. The neck is supposed to curve this way. So the cervical vertebrae curve this way, the thoracic curve this way, the lumbar curve this way, and then the sacrum and coccyx curve back that way.
Yep.
So it's a. Yeah, it's not supposed to be a straight line. With that in mind, here are some issues. Scoliosis. So you see, normal is following this green line. It should be straight in here. But scoliosis, the spine curves around. And if you see an actual picture of it, you can see their spine curving. Sometimes it's way more pronounced than this. This is a hunchback. So instead of having this nice, slight S shape, it's going to dip in further, and then, like, the whole thing's going to, like, the lumbar is pulling this direction, too. Okay, the lumbar is not supposed to go that direction. And then sway back, that's like, you're going to, well, they're holding themselves like that, unless they're, this one actually happens a lot when you're pregnant, because you do hold yourself like that, and it can mess with your spine. So anyway, it pushes. It's like pushing the pelvis or the abdominal cavity out further. So it makes that, and it ends up with your neck not being like it pushes that too far. So, like that. Does that make sense? Is this normal?
Is that you? It is you?
Yeah, that's me. This was after my accident. So, remember. The thoracic is supposed, the cervical is supposed to curve. No curve. Ooh. It's painful. That's actually very painful. Whiplash. I was looking in this direction and I got hit from the front and side, so it did like that while I was looking in the, I don't know. There's the nasal cavity. Mm-hmm. You see the nasal cavity? My teeth.
Why do your teeth?
Because that's how they look inside the skull.
It just looks like.
Mm-hmm. When you see all of them, how they're, because they have to come from the attachment part. These are, like my teeth are like right here. What you see, and they're straight, because you can, but then they curve, I mean, they have to go back to, you know, into the skull and into the maxilla or the mandible. Yeah. Anyway, so that's a painful condition. Look at my brain cavity. Like the brain cavity. It's a big brain cavity. No, it's normal size. Anyway. Yeah, so, yeah, there's some.
Oh, I was going to ask, so does the brain sit on that butterfly bone?
Because that's on the bottom side of the, of here, so it sits in there. And the cella turcica sticks up in the front part of it, and that one's sitting in the, well, you know, the center, almost center. Not where the spine's coming through, but like in that area, and then the other, the cella turcica is in there. So it's like to hold the brain.
Did you wear a neck brace? Mm-mm. So what do they do?
Is it still like that?
Mm-mm. I went to therapy. I had this little thing where you had to like, it like attached onto your neck here, and you had a bar you had to hold on to, and you go like this, and it pulled my neck, and it would push it like that. And then there was this table that they would put you on where it took my shoulders and it would push my shoulders down. And then there was one where it pulled, I don't know, it was, you know, straight, like doing things with my spine. Yeah, and by the time I was done with therapy, my neck shots, they were normal. They weren't as interesting. I didn't ask to keep those. I was like, well, that just looks like a spine picture I can find on the web. Although I can find that on the web too, but that's, it's cooler that it's me. All right, the ribs. We talked about this. We have one to seven. We have seven true ribs. So ribs number 1 through 7 are true ribs. That means that they attach directly to the sternum. So we have the cartilage here. They attach directly to the sternum. Okay? 8 through 10 are my attached false ribs. 11 and 12 are floating false ribs. The false ribs?
Is there like a difference?
I feel like the floating ones would be easier to break, but
they're not attached.
Except that they're not in the front, so something would have to hit you in the back. Anyway, the floating ribs don't have any cartilage attachment points. And the false ribs that are not floating attach into the cartilage of 7. Okay? All right.
I was going to ask, because I remember in CPR, is it the sternum that's easy to break, or is it...
It's the ribs that you crack.
And
you push down on the sternum, but it's you're pushing down in here, so it's this stuff that, or you can end up cracking these. You can crack the sternum, too, because you have to push actually really hard because you have to compress the whole area to actually get to the heart. But you don't want to do too hard, because if you do break it too bad, you can puncture the heart. Yeah. All right, axial skeleton. So, upper limbs. Today's going to be a hard day with movement. Oh. Anyway, so we have 30 bones per limb. We're looking at the upper limb, so arm per limb. We're going to have the humerus. That's going to be this bone here. It's going to have a ball and socket that's going to hook into the shoulder. So the scapula. Anyway, the humerus. Then you have your forearm. That's going to be this area right here. That's going to have your radius and your ulna. And it turns on a radius. Your wrist is going to be made up of your carpals. So that's the 8 small bones. So you have your carpals right in here. Then you're going to have your metacarpals in the hand. And then you're going to have your phalanges. Okay, so the metacarpals are going to be the first ones. And then you have the phalanges. Okay, phalanges make up the fingers. Carpals are in the wrist. Metacarpals are the first ones here. And then phalanges. You can feel like that's the joint of the phalanges there. And then... the metacarpals are bigger than the carpals, but smaller than the phalanges in their totality, because the phalanges are broken up into little pieces. Okay. All right, lower limbs, there's going to be 30 bones for per limb. You're going to have your femur. So that's the long, your thigh bone that has the ball and socket that's going to hook into your pelvis. And that ball and socket joint, your patella is your kneecap. Then you're going to have the leg proper. That's the fibula and the tibia. Then you have your ankle that's going to be made up of the tarsals. And then you have your metatarsals and phalanges. Okay? Oh, yeah, and you have the little one that's one of the tarsal bones, the one that sticks off here, tarsus. Twinkle, twinkle, little star. What?
No, I'm reading. I heard that. I said it stands from knee to ankle.
I heard twinkle, twinkle. I was like, what?
I said it stands from knee to ankle.
Ankle, twinkle. There we go. I have a baby, so it's okay.
You know, it's so funny watching my mom, and it's even worse when I see my stepdad. I haven't seen my stepdad do it yet, but mom says it sings the baby channel songs.
Oh, yeah, those will get you. Those will get you. All right, joints and their classifications. We already talked about the joints. We have the bony, the fibrous, the collagenous, and synovial. Bony joints, these are immovable joints. I can't talk today. Anyway, these are going to be like the mandibular bones in infants, the sutures. Once we get older, those are our immovable ones. Once you get old, you have the first rib will attach to the sternum completely. Fibrous joints, that's the synarthrosis and synarthrodial joints. All right, so that's fibrous joints. We're going to have the sutures, the gomphosis, and syndesmosis. Okay. And that are these. Okay, so these are our suture ones. Okay, so there's different types of sutures. We're going to have serrated, lap, and plain. The serrated, they're going to be like this, where they're interlocking with each other. The lap ones will overlap on each other, and then the flat ones we're just going to, or plain ones will just, they're going to be flat on each other. Yeah, here's pictures of them. So here's the serrated one. So you see that it's an interlocking system. The lap one, like this, one will lay on top of the other. So it's, and then the plain ones, like the palate one, it's just a straight line. They just butt up right next to each other. Okay, so that's the three different types of sutures: serrated, lap, and plain.
I'm glad I think it's serrated because I used serrated mine.
Yeah, and they're like that. It's got the, I mean, it's not really, and then you can saw the meat. Whereas you can have ones that are flat and they just slice the meat. They don't tear the meat. Serrated tears meat. If they're sharp enough, you can just right through it. Oh, I'm snorting on the podcast. I'm just going to delete this one. All right. Gomphosis. This is how our teeth are attached into our sockets. If you've ever had a tooth pulled, that's a strong joint.
You ever had a, what is it called?
Root canal? No. But there's, in the canals of the roots where the nerves are, they stick a brush down in there and clean it out. Like the process, you guys will talk about it during AMP2. The process of a root canal is disturbing. Yeah, it's disturbing. Like my teeth hurt right now thinking about it. Anyway, there's these collagenous fibers that are going to attach to it and hold it in. Okay? are not like movable, like your teeth don't start moving, but there is some flex in it, because if there wasn't flex, it would be very easy to break a tooth out. So you can feel when you pull on it, it does have some give, but it's not a lot. If it has a lot of give, you're probably lose the tooth. But if it had no give, you would lose the tooth. Or you wouldn't let anybody touch your teeth. Because.
They took out
14. Oh, wow. They took out some on this side when I got braces to make room in my mouth. But now I have a lot of room because my wisdom teeth are coming in and I have room. All right. Fibrous joints that connect two bones together. That's what these are. So the radius and the ulna, they're attached to each other so that when they articulate, they will articulate together. Articulation is just the movement of the joints. So I want my radius and my ulna to go together. I don't want to turn my arm and one of them stay where it is. So they are actually joined together with this fibrous joint. It's just collagenous fibers that are joining the two bones together. Okay? And it allows them to do supination or pronation together. And that's pronation or supination, pronation. Okay? You're going to listen to the podcast. Which one's supination? Which one's pronation? Because I'm just saying the words. You got to remember. Supination, pronation. So we're going to talk about the different articulations. So. All right, we talked a lot about these, where they're joined together. So we have the ribs joining with the cartilage there. That's the synchondrosis bones. So they're attached with the hyaline cartilage. This one. Synovial joints, that's one of them. That's going to be the ones that allow, you know, much more articulation. We have the ball and socket joints. All of those, this is the ones we talked about in lab. Freely moving. The saddle joints and all of that. Remember that? Radial, pivot. Okay, so these are our different types. We have ball and socket, pivot, saddle, hinge joints, plane joints, and chondral joints. So ball and socket, we have the four joints, our shoulders and our hips. It allows for rotation in all directions. We have pivot joints, the radius and here, that's a hinge joint. Pivot joint, so you can pivot on the elbow there. Saddle joint, your thumbs, we only have two of those. Plane joints, that's going to be in your carpals there. It allows the carpals to glide on each other. So it's more freedom than the ball and socket joint, because it's a bunch of little joints gliding on each other. Okay? This is why you end up with trouble with your carpal tunnel, because that's in there. If you have a problem with your joints in there, it causes pain. That's carpal tunnel. And then you have the chondral joints. That's the ones that are in between here, also in your jaw. Okay? Cool. All right. Articulations. So you have flexion and extension. So flexion is going to take extension gives you the 0 degree. Okay? So if I'm here, that's my 0 degree. So it's out, it's straight, 0 degrees. Flexation is going to decrease the angle of the joint. So you see, this is my angle of the joint in the 0 degree. I decreased it. Hyperflexation will extend it. You cannot hyperflex this joint. It doesn't hyperflex. You can hyperflex your hands. So that would be extension in the 0 degree. That would be hyperextension. That would be flexation. So this joint, it got smaller, the 0. So smaller, the 0, and now it's wider. Okay? Why did that make my shoulder hurt? Okay. All right. So extension is the 0. Flexation makes it a smaller degree. Hyperextension makes it larger. Okay. Good? All right. Abduction and adduction. Abduction is going to take away from the midline. So this is abduction with a B. Abduction moves up. If you hyperabduct, you're going to raise it above the head. Okay? And crossing over. So that's hyperabduction. So, like, I'm out of shape. Adduction pulls it back towards midline. So coming down this way is adduction. Hyperadduction is the crossing over. I can't do it like this because I can't bring my whole arm that way. I gotta swing this way. So I can go that way. So crossing your hands, crossing your fingers, crossing your ankles. This is all a hyperadduction because you're going past the midline to the other side. Okay, so adduction goes towards the midline. Abduction goes away from the midline. Okay? Good. All right. I'm going to be sore tomorrow. All right, elevation and depression. This should be easy. Elevation is going to bring it up in the frontal plane. So this would be elevation. So this is normal elevation. Depression takes it lower. I can't do depression well. I don't do depression well. Elevation, normal, depression. Depression is hard to do. Okay. I don't know anywhere else that you can just easily do depression other than the shoulders. I guess you can move your hip up a little bit. I don't know. That's kind of, you can't do them both at the same time. So, I don't know. I think it's just the shoulders. Protraction and retraction. So, protraction, this is protraction. It's easier to see if you extend your arm out and it goes forward. Retraction is going to go this way. So that's retraction. Retraction moves apart posterior. Protraction moves it anterior. Okay? Okay? Pay attention to which planes you're in for these two. Circumduction, that's where you're going to move apart, but the attachment point is not going to move. So the attachment doesn't move, but see, my attachment is still here. It's not moving. It's not circling as well. It stays where it is, but my hand is circling. Okay, so that's circumduction. Okay, so if I wanted to draw a circle. Oh, that popped and hurt. Small circle. Don't draw a big circle. Small circle. That's going to be circumduction. Okay? Oh, you can circumduct with your leg too. Ah, ouch. When I used to do beast mode training, he would call out letters. My trainer, he would call out letters, and you had to, you're on your back with your legs up, so you're working your abs, and you had to draw the letters with your foot. Yeah, it's like 26 times. Is it 26 letters? Yeah, and he would get there, and then he would be like, X, X, X. And you're like, no, because you're almost at the end, and you got your mindset that you're almost done. But he already has a certain number in his head, but then he'd be like, X, X, X. And, and then he'd be like, Y. And you're like, oh, Z. And you're like, I'm done. Z. No, I was done. Z. And you're like, ah. He never did it in the beginning, always at the end. Playing mind games. All right, rotation. So rotation, that's going to move the joints around or the bones around, whether it's going to be medial or lateral. So here, if I take my hand and I move it, well, let's start at I rotate this way, it causes the bones to rotate laterally. So toward, away from the midline. So that's going to be a lateral rotation. If I go this way, my bones are going to rotate more medial. So it's going to be a medial rotation. Okay? So that's a lateral medial. Lateral medial. I'm supposed to be keeping my arms down, but it kind of hurt, so I didn't. All right. Any questions on that one? All right, supination and pronation. Supination is going to have it, like, anatomical position. It's going to move towards anatomical position. Pronation is going to go posterior, so away from it, this direction. Okay, supination, pronation. Okay, you cannot do this with other bones. This is with the radius and the ulna. Okay? So, if you're looking at this internally, in supination, the radius and ulna are parallel. In pronation, they are not. The head of the radius will rotate, and it makes your, so you're looking at the view of it from the front. They're twisted. Okay? So it causes this one to rotate around. So you're here, and then it rotates around. Okay? Any questions? We're done.